This is Warrior Kid Podcast number 32, Ask Uncle Jake. And this podcast is based on the four Way of the Warrior Kid books. The first one, Wimpy to Warrior, The Navy SEAL Way. The second one, Mark's Mission. The third one, Where There's a Will. And the latest one, Book 4, Field Manual. The books are about young Mark, who faces a lot of the problems that kids everywhere face, but Mark gets help solving those problems from his Uncle Jake, who was a Navy SEAL and who stays with Mark in the summertime. This podcast is for kids to hear some more lessons from Uncle Jake and also to get the chance to ask Uncle Jake some questions. And so here we go. The first question is from a warrior kid named Ethan, who's 9 years old. And Ethan says, I know you don't like video games, but I only get to see my friends while we are playing them. What can I do? Please help. Okay, Ethan, you're right that I'm really not a fan of video games, but I also know that things have been tough lately as we have faced coronavirus and we had to stay home and stay away from other people. And so that's a little bit of a problem. So what should you do? Well, I think because of the coronavirus and because it's the opportunity for you to hang out with your friends, I think you should play some video games with your friends online so you get a chance to hang out with them and have some fun. But I don't think you should do it for too long. And I think you can do some other activities while you hang out with your friends virtually online. And I know some kids that set up virtual meetings with their friends and then they do some art or they talk about books that they've been reading or they play instruments and even making music. I've even seen some kids doing exercise together over virtual meetings. So I think all those are good ways to still get to hang out with your friends, but without spending a bunch of time playing video games. And the other things that you could do are actually good for you. Music, reading, exercise, those things are all very good for you, and you still get to be with your friends. So be creative and have some fun. The next question is from a warrior kid named Carter, and he is 10 years old. And Carter says, I have autism, and sometimes I wish I wasn't even born because of it. What do you do when you feel different from other people? What should I do when I feel different? Well, Carter, you might feel like you're different from other people, but guess what? Everybody is different from other people, and that is perfectly okay. Being different from other people is actually a gift. You see things that other people can't see. You understand things that maybe other people don't understand. So when you feel different from other people, remember that other people feel that way too. And try to think about all the ways that being different from other people is actually good. And I'll tell you, as far as wishing that you weren't even born, well, that's also something that other people sometimes feel. And you know what makes people feel like that? It's because life sometimes can be hard. But you know what? Life is hard for everyone at certain points in their life. Everyone is going to face challenges. Maybe we don't understand some math at school. Or maybe we get a bad grade on a spelling test. Or maybe someone makes fun of us. Or calls us a name. Or maybe our parents yell at us. Or maybe we know someone who get sick, and maybe we even know someone who dies, maybe our grandmother or our grandfather. There's all kinds of hard things that we have to face in life. But you know what? Here's something to remember, Carter. Those things that we go through, those things that are hard in life, Those are the things that actually make us stronger. Those are the things that make us tougher. Those hard things that we go through make us appreciate the things in life that are good. And I know that there's things in your life that are good. Even though you have some challenges, there are definitely some things that are good. And you know what else? Those struggles that we go through, those struggles are actually what make us who we are. And you know what those struggles make us all? They make us all different. So don't feel bad, don't feel sad, don't feel alone. Because even though you might not know exactly what other people are going through or what they have gone through, everyone has challenges. And those challenges, yes, they make us different, but in the long run, they also make us better. So stick to it, Carter. Next up is a warrior kid named Tucker, who's 9 years old. And he asks, what was the scariest thing you saw in the ocean and what did you do? And then he also asks another question, I love turtles. Did you ever see one? So a quick story about the scariest thing I ever saw in the ocean. I was going through SEAL training. And during SEAL training, we have to do many long swims in the ocean. And we were about to go on one of those long swims, and we were standing on a pier looking into the ocean. And as we were standing on the pier looking into the ocean, we saw sharks swimming around. We could see the sharks in the water where we were about to go swimming. And the instructors got us all the way to the end of the pier and had us look at the sharks and see the sharks. And then they had us put on our dive masks and our fins like they were going to send us into the water. And just before they told us to get in the water, they said, nope, the swim is canceled. Too many sharks. So I was definitely not looking forward to that swim. So that's probably the scariest thing I've ever seen, is sharks. But luckily, I wasn't actually in the ocean. And as far as turtles go, I like turtles too. And I've seen normal turtles on land, but I've never seen a sea turtle myself. So I'll have to keep looking around until I see one of them. Thanks for the question, Tucker. The next question is from a warrior kid named Anna, who's from California. And she said, did you ever lose races when you were a Navy SEAL? And if you lost, what did you do afterwards? Well, Anna, let me tell you, I lost all kinds of races when I was a SEAL. I was definitely not the fastest runner. I was definitely not the fastest swimmer. I was definitely not the fastest guy on the obstacle course. And I'll tell you, actually, when I thought about this question, Anna, I barely ever actually won races because there were so many guys that were really fast, either really fast runners or really fast swimmers or really fast at the obstacle course. So I lost all the time. So what did I do when I lost? Well, the first thing I did was I would try and catch my breath because I always worked as hard as I could and I would be out of breath when I got done with those races. And then I would say congratulations to the people that won. And I'd think about what I could do that maybe would help me get faster. So that's what I would do. If you're competing, you're going to lose sometimes. That's just the way it is. It's okay. Don't get discouraged. There's always going to be somebody that's a little bit better than you. But just focus on doing better yourself the next time. And on the next question is from a warrior kid named Luke, who's 12 years old. He's from Pennsylvania. And he asked this question, how come warrior kids have to exercise to be warrior kids? Well, let me tell you, Luke, exercise makes you smarter and stronger and faster and healthier. It helps everything that we are trying to do as warrior kids. As warrior kids, we want to help other people. We want to protect people. We want to learn more. We want to be humble. We want to be confident. We want to be disciplined. We want to be prepared. And exercising every day will help you with all those things. So sometimes I know it can be, I know sometimes you get a little bit tired, you don't want to exercise, or you don't feel like exercising. I know that. Everybody feels like that sometimes. But exercise is helpful for everything you do in life. And that is why warriors and warrior kids exercise. And that is it for questions for this one. And I wanted to read a quick story that was written by Uncle Jake when he was a kid about one of the lessons that he learned in life. So here is a story from Uncle Jake. When I was a kid, one of our neighbors was an older lady named Mrs. Cornfield. And she was very nice. And in the summer, when it was hot out, she would make us lemonade. And in the fall, she would give us hot apple cider. And in the wintertime, sometimes she would give us hot chocolate. And she was very, very nice. She was also very, very old. And sometimes she needed help with things. And one of the things that she needed help with was when it would snow, the snow would pile up in her driveway and on her walkway and on her stairs. And I would go over and shovel her walkway and her driveway and her stairs. I would usually do it early in the morning before she would even wake up. And one day we got a fresh coating of snow, probably about 4 or 5 inches deep. And when I woke up in the morning, I saw that it had snowed, and I figured I would go over and shovel the snow. And just as I was getting ready to go shovel the snow, my friend Billy came over. Well, actually, Billy wasn't really my friend. He was a kid that could be a little bit annoying sometimes, but I still played with him from time to time. And he knocked on the door and I opened it, and he said, "Hey, you want to go build a snow fort with me?" And of course that sounded like fun. And so I said, "Sure." And as the words came out of my mouth, I remembered that first I had to go shovel Mrs. Cornfield's snow. So I said, "But first I have to shovel out Mrs. Cornfield's driveway and walkway and stairs. Do you want to come help me out? And then after we get done shoveling snow, we can go build a fort." And he said, "I don't want to shovel. I want to build a fort. I'll come back and get you in a little while when you're done." And he ran off. So I got my boots and gloves and snow pants and shovel, and I walked over to Mrs. Cornfield's house and I started shoveling. And it's hard work. And it took me a pretty good amount of time, probably almost an hour, and I was just about done shoveling, and that's when Billy came back around. He'd been off building his snow fort, and he had a snow shovel of his own with him that he was using to build that fort, and he looked at me and he said, "Aren't you done yet?" And I said, "Well, not quite. I have to get the sidewalk and the stairs, and it won't take long. Do you want to help?" And I knew that if he helped me, we could get it done quicker. "Not really," he said with a smirk. "I don't want to help." And I said, "Well, would you help? You have a shovel, and if you give me some help, we can finish pretty quick." And he thought about it for a few seconds, and finally he said, "Fine." So we started shoveling snow off the sidewalk and worked our way to the stairs that led up to Mrs. Cornfield's porch. And just as we got the last bit of snow off of her porch, Mrs. Cornfield opened the door. "Good morning, boys," she said. "I heard you a minute ago as I woke up, and I was very happy to look out the window and see you shoveling this snow." And she had a big smile on her face, and, "It's no problem," I told her. "Well," she said, "it's hard work. Come on over here, both of you." Then Billy and I pushed the last bit of snow off the stairs and walked across the porch to Mrs. Cornfield, and she reached into her pocket and she pulled out two $5 bills. $5 bills. And she held them out and she said, "Here you go. Thank you so much." And she handed one of the bills to me. And then she handed the other one to Billy. And Billy didn't even hesitate. He just took it from her, as if he did as much work as me. And I felt myself fuming. And she said, "Thank you." And then she shut the door. And I looked at Billy. And I said, "Well?" And he said, "Well, what?" And I said, "Well, are you going to give me that $5? And he said, "Why? She gave it to me." And I said, "But you didn't do the work. I worked for almost an hour. You worked for 5 minutes. "That's not my problem," said Billy. And then he turned and walked away. I couldn't believe it. I did all that work, and then he got the same amount of money as me. And then as he was walking away, he looked back and said, "Well?" And I said, "Well, what?" And he said, "Don't you want to go build a snow fort?" And I said, "Build your own snow fort." And he said, "Fine." And he walked away. And I went back to my house, and I was angry. I couldn't believe that he got the money and the credit for something that I had done. I was so mad at him. I was beyond mad. I was resentful. And being resentful is a special kind of mad. It's a kind of mad that you get when you think something is not fair. Like when someone cheats at a game, or someone else wins an award that you think you deserve, or when someone else gets paid for work that you did. And just as I sat there stewing with rage, I saw Mrs. Cornfield come out of her house. And she walked across the porch and down the stairs and over to her car. And she got in and she saw me looking out the window at her, and she waved. And she mouthed the words, "Thank you." And at that moment, I felt good. And I realized something. I realized an important lesson. I felt good about what I had done to help out Mrs. Cornfield. Not because of the money she gave me, or even the thanks that she gave me. I felt good because I had done something nice, something that helped another person. And I realized that when you help someone, that is the reward. You don't need money, and you don't need thanks, and you don't need recognition. Doing the right thing to help someone is reward enough, whether you are helping one of your friends, someone in your family, someone in school, or your neighbor. And I realized how wrong I was to feel resentful and angry about Billy. That feeling was driving me crazy. So I just said to myself, it doesn't matter. The money isn't the reward. The thanks isn't the reward. Doing something nice is the reward. And from that day on, I didn't do things so I would be rewarded or I would be recognized. I did things to help others. And that means I didn't have to feel resentment anymore. And once I figured that out, I put on my boots and my mittens, and I went and found Billy, and we built an awesome snow fort. And we had fun doing it. And that is all we have for the Warrior Kid podcast this time. And if you want to get one of the Warrior Kid books, or the Mikey and the Dragon book, you can go to warriorkid.com. And if you want a Warrior Kid t-shirt or a jiu-jitsu rash guard, you can also get them from warriorkid.com. And if you start jiu-jitsu and you need a jiu-jitsu gi for kids, you can get one at originusa.com. And also, if you want to get some Warrior Kid Mulk, which is a protein mix that tastes delicious and makes you stronger and healthier, you can get that from JockoFuel.com. And that's it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for reading the books. And remember the lesson that Uncle Jake learned from Mrs. Cornfield. Don't do things for money or praise or recognition. Do the right things for the right reasons. And do not be resentful if you don't get the rewards you think you deserve. Now go out there, train hard, study hard, work hard, get after it, and be a warrior kid.